The state of the industry is we're healing quite nicely from COVID. We had the worst 4 years of our industry that I've ever seen.
Welcome to season 8 of Bridge the Gap, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors. The BTG Network is powered by sponsors
Align, NICMAP,
ProCare HR, Sage, Hamilton Captel, ServiceMaster, The Bridge Group Construction, and Solinity, and produced by Solinity Marketing.
Bridge the Gap in 3, 2. Welcome to Bridge the Gap Podcast, the senior living podcast with Josh and Lucas, Florida Senior Living Association here in Fort Lauderdale. Great conference and a great guest, our friend Greg Roderick.
Hey,
Frontier
everybody.
Management.
Great to be here.
It's so good to see you. The Pacific Northwest guy turned Dallasite.
I'm telling you, and I'm liking the East. Yes? This whole weather thing works for me.
Yes, you love warm weather.
It turns out I love sunshine. I love no taxes. And Texas and Florida do both.
They're good spots.
They are.
They're good spots. So, Greg, this is, not your first week in the industry. You've seen some ups and downs and some challenges and some changes. This is an incredible opportunity to pick a industry icon's brain about where is senior housing in 2025. Let me frame it up even more.
Yeah.
As I ramble a little bit here. Greg, your portfolio consists of literally every type of asset and class of senior housing, from large luxury ground up to legacy older standard ALMCs.
That's right.
And across a swath of the United States, in a lot of different states you've operated in. And so you have a deep perspective on a lot going on in the industry. Development is really challenging.
It is.
And we're going to pick your brain about that. So does that spur up some thoughts that you want to share with our audience?
Candidly, our industry is struggling with older properties. We've got probably an average age of around 28, 29 years old for the senior housing space. With that, you would think that development would just be taking off like crazy right now. In the last 10 years, we've seen so many developers and investors really get comfortable with that 3 to 5% interest rate. And for those of us who have been doing this since, I hate to even tell you, the 19 late 80s, we were used to building buildings between 12 and 20% interest.
Oh my God.
For many years. We got into a pattern where we were thrilled in the 90s with 7.5 to 10% rates. We just couldn't believe how reasonable that was. In the last 15 years or 10 years at least, everyone's been doing 3, 5, whatever percent, and they're so comfortable with that. But that interest rate tick has just absolutely frozen so many people from development. For myself, if I could develop 10 buildings right now, I would build 10 buildings right now. It seems like that would be really high risk at 7.5 to 9% interest. To me, that still seems reasonable. It seems so funny, but the demand is there. The senior or the silver tsunami everyone's been talking about for so long is literally here. I was interviewed just a couple of days ago by a publication, and they said, how much of an increase are you seeing in lead flow? About 15% month over month of new competition, new leads flowing in. In the past, our website would generate conservatively 10, 15% of our leads. Today, we're at 60%. 60%. A place for mom used to be 60%. Now they're in that maybe 25, 30%. Our website, people are doing so much homework. And social media, I do attribute social media has done a beautiful job allowing all of us to organically grow our brand. In the past, we would have to lean on a sales director to just go out and build the brand kind of on their own. And now we've got social media and everyone is on their phones. I don't know about you guys, but when I see how many hours a day my phone's been used, I'm a little embarrassed because I have not. Either I'm having it on so much or I'm scrolling through LinkedIn and Facebook, liking all of my buildings' posts. But
That is pushing our algorithms up. We're getting far more lead flow that way. But that all leads into the development. Back to the development. Our industry needs new product. You've seen, I'm not sure if you've seen it. You haven't probably seen our new one, but our new one in Garland, Texas. It's filling up at such a rapid pace. You know, people are like, aren't you worried about a new competitor? I'm like, oh no, there's room. There's room for all of us at this point. In 2025, to kind of go back to your first part of this question, the state of the industry is we're healing quite nicely from COVID. We had the worst 4 years of our industry that I've ever seen. I would only liken it to the Resolution Trust Corporation days of the early 1990s, when the savings and loans failed, the government took them over and sold off all the assets, which a lot were senior living communities. It would be like the government taking over all the community banks today. That was a disaster for so many people. Of course, the winners made billions, but the losers lost everything. And that's, COVID was the same thing. All of us took a hit. And a lot of people asked us during COVID, why aren't the buildings, now that COVID's up, why aren't you filling these buildings up faster? I'm like, well, let's just say there was 2,300 units of memory care in a particular market. Everyone went down to an occupancy of, say, 20%. Now we got to lease up the other 80% together. And, you know, normally you'd build a building and you'd fill up one building out of 12 in that market and it'd fill up nicely. Now we're filling all buildings at the same time. So it was a grind. You know, you're giving away incentives and losses were mounting. And so lenders are scared. Investors are weary. And I know you're developing some stuff too, Josh, right?
Yeah.
And it's a great time to develop. Labor's available. Materials are available. The tariffs, I don't know if they're really going to ever fully hit. So I'm not so worried about that, because I think that's been, it's a political thing. I'm not really worried about politics. I want to build buildings. I want to operate buildings. I want to give seniors better choices. The buildings I used to operate in the late 80s, early 90s, we didn't have fit. We had a fitness center, but it had a bike in it. Today, they're real. You know, a swimming pool was a dream. Today, you have a swimming pool. So things are getting better. Seniors are really getting a better opportunity to live in a better environment. The headwinds have slowed down so much. Staffing, we're not really struggling for staff. We have agency in one building out of 40 right now, and we're trying to work that out as fast as we can. But we just aren't even using agency anymore. We're getting applicants online like very quickly. So I feel great. I feel like it's a good environment to develop. I don't think people should be so afraid of the interest rates. I think they should price it accordingly and then deliver on what they're promising.
I want to sort of dovetail a question on that. And this is obviously going to be your opinion on it. But so everything and the emotion and the feelings that you have, we're talking to our partners at NICMAP, right? And they have the data supports the enthusiasm, the positive story that we both know about our industry, right? Occupancy's going back up. Mergers and acquisitions, the values are going up. All that's great. But they also have a data point that says development still at, actually, I think, Lucas, if I'm not right, hit an all-time low. So you and I are like, best time to develop. Do you think, it's just a matter of interest rates coming down and that's opening up this great tsunami of development towards this new generation? Or do you think it's going to take more than that to get back to trying to meet the pace of the demand?
I think it's going to take a lot more equity investors, whether it's private equity, hedge funds, family office, REITs, alternative lenders. They're going to have to, they're not going to have to do anything, but if we're going to see a meaningful development pipeline spur nationwide, which is needed, It's gonna take all of them to actually get on this page.
Sure.
And right now they don't have to. I mean, right now they can go out and invest and buy stuff at pennies on the dollar, and do really well with older product by just putting some money in, rehabbing them, and putting them back out.
Not to chase too much of a tangent here, but you're a very sophisticated real estate developer, investor, not only in senior housing, right, but across a lot of sectors. Sure. You know, I just, the common sense guy that I am from little old East Tennessee, you know, I go around and every market in the South I go to, I see apartments, multifamily, and other verticals, development going up. And I'm like, where is all this money coming from in the multifamily sector specifically? I see that. But then the story we have, how is one vertical going up so fast, like multifamily, but senior housing was such a demand and such a great story, like slower?
I really do believe that the lenders were so uncomfortable with our space coming out of COVID that the apartments were just getting all the equity, all the debt, and it was just, it was easy. Today, multifamily is struggling with a debt wall, the same one we faced. So when I say debt wall, you have a five-year loan. In 5 years, you have to refinance. Here we are. That was last year. And that debt wall in senior housing was really big. It was like $22 billion, I believe, something along those lines. It had to be refinanced or foreclosure would happen. And most of it went to foreclosure. The multifamily is about 100 times that, and they're hitting their debt walls now. So you're seeing some of those apartments quietly transition to new people. I've actually been doing some of that investing on the side as well, because it's a great opportunity on a price per unit in comparison to historical value.
Is any of that product, do you think, would ever be able to even be converted to a senior housing product? Because you've seen all these hotels, and that seems like that very seldom works. But what do you think about that multifamily side?
The multifamily, I think, is actually harder because you don't have the commercial kitchen. You don't necessarily even have an elevator. So there's some real inherent challenges there. I have been approached this year on a few hotels, and not to say all hotels would work, because they won't, but there are some that it's like, this is nice. You got some of these hotels have all suites, and it's like, okay, that's actually a decent sized apartment. That's 700 square feet. It's got a full kitchen. Maybe not for assisted, but for IL, I could see that.
And I'm wondering if, you know, I think the hotel transition might have gotten a little bit of a bad rap early on, because I think most of the ones I've seen and heard of were hospitality companies that thought, hey, we can just convert, and we're used to running hospitality, so how hard can senior living be, right? It's not necessarily been the developer, owner, operator that's experienced in senior housing looking to acquire a hotel to convert it. So do you think that's part of the false start on the hotel front?
I think, to your point, in the past, some hotel companies thought, we can take these buildings and convert them, because senior housing, I mean, what could go wrong? It's pretty easy. Because I think a lot of us in this industry, we do kind of make it seem pretty simple. It's just what we do. So it just seems easy. Where I have had at least one in the past that was a hotel, but it had outdoor hall corridors.
Okay. Oh, wow.
I mean, and it was in Arizona, and it was very,
I heard it gets hot.
It turns out that the heat does rise there.
Quite a lot.
It was tricky. Oh, wow. It was tricky.
For you, you've been doing this a long time. So give us a little bit of personal insight to Greg Roderick Ventures. What's next in Frontier and your adventures?
We put a lot of emphasis on training, and people talk about training all the time, and I've fallen into it. I talk about training a lot. My training sessions are 10 to 20 minutes. We did 200 trainings in the first half of this year, but they're 10 to 20 minutes, and they're on a wide variety of topics for different department heads. So that's been a big piece we've been focusing on, and we're going to continue doing that for quite some time. Value-based care, it's a big coin term. Ask most people about it. They might know what it is. They probably don't. So we have really built a full-on network of healthcare providers, best in class by, you know, national providers, regional, statewide, close in. We've teamed up with Curana Health, like so many operators have, and they've done an amazing job. We've built a whole network, or I would call it an ecosystem around each community, to bring in more healthcare services to address residents' evolving healthcare needs much more quickly, to get the support to my clinical team that they need, to extend the length of stay, to reduce ridiculous rehospitalizations that shouldn't be happening. And I've been pushing this for 4 years, and I will tell you, that's not an easy sell. All of that sounds easy when I say it, but it's very complicated to a lot of people who have never been exposed to the healthcare continuum or all these provider networks. And where I learned we had a problem was I actually met with a discharge planner at a hospital. I said, hey, how would I get some people maybe referred from your hospital to my place? She goes, oh, that's not going to happen. She goes, you guys call 911 so quick for the smallest things. And I'm like, you know, I didn't have to ask anymore. I knew she was right. You know, we should be doing lab works. We should be partnering with good people to come in and bring these great programs into our buildings, so our residents can get quicker services. We've got the great teams. Just ask them questions. Is anything going on with any of our residents different than it was yesterday? Well, this one lady, she seems a little confused. Great. Let's get a lab. Let's get therapy involved. Let's talk to a nutritionist. 1, 2, 3. And we step back. Let them intervene. It doesn't cost anything. So that's what we're doing a lot of.
Well, I like that. So I've got a question. I know we're going to have to start wrapping this up. Sure. Lucas is giving me the twitch eye. Like, you know, we got limited time with Greg. So, but selfishly, so I talked to a lot of guys like you that have been doing this a long time, and I get two sort of polarizing views on how they're steering their companies as far as the future. So it sounded like, if I'm interpreting, you're really thinking, okay, we need to be educated on this. We need to position for this value-based care. So without diving down the rabbit hole of what is value-based care, how do you position yourself? That's a whole nother podcast. But it seems like guys in the industry are kind of taking two frames of thought, like, hey, that's scary. That's healthcare delivery or coordination. I don't want to do that. It's too regulated. I'm going to go downstream and chase maybe active adult or independent living. It's where senior living used to be. And that's kind of their talking points. Or you've got folks embracing it like, hey, you've got to do this to survive. Is your opinion that there's going to be room for all? Or is it more of like, hey, if you're not preparing for value-based care, you're never going to survive in the senior housing? Where do you think it's really going to shake out?
I think there is a room for everyone. First of all, in 2030, every single person over the age of 65 who is Medicare qualified, they will have to be in a program, whether it's Medicare Advantage, ISNP, ACO of a hospital, something. That's the law. That's coming. That's in 2030. So value-based care, there's a reason that people are talking about it. They're trying to learn about it. They just want to understand it. So that's coming. But to your point, 55 and older, age active adult is a great model. It is what retirement used to be. There's a massive, massive population that demands that, likes it, and it's really reasonably priced. It's only about 150% over market rate apartments. That's really reasonable. And they're nice. I operate those too.
Yeah.
So I do think that there's a broad need for all types of operators looking at all types of settings to operate. And there's a market. It's a big group of people.
Well, Lucas, positivity, a great outlook from an experienced veteran in the industry. That's what we like to hear.
We love that. Greg is always, he's if you ever want to be encouraged, have a conversation with Greg. He's a great optimist, a great friend, and a great leader in the industry. And so our last question to end on, even here at FSLA, there's some students. And with our podcast platform, we actually engage and interact with a lot of different students in college and university that are looking at senior housing as a career step for them. You know, you mentioned that you're not having a problem with staffing, but for that person that's at university or is considering this as a career, what would you say to encourage them and educate them about making that decision?
I would say that this is one of those industries that has a opportunity to go the whole gamut of a career path, where you can start is and learn the business from the ground up. But within a really reasonable period of time, you're going to have an opportunity to grow into supervisory or management and beyond. And I'm talking about less than 5 years. I mean, that's not in every industry you can do that. So I think there's a great career path. I think it pays well. There's a good benefit program. If you want to feel good about life, about what you're contributing to the society, to people's loved ones, this is a great industry. I also want to make on the last point, if you want to learn about our industry and you want to really engage in real world topics and great people, listen to Bridge the Gap. Bridge the Gap is one of those companies and operations that is really fulfilling a massive need in our industry. So well, thank you guys. Well, you're doing a great job. You and your team, Sarah, fantastic. You guys are awesome. Everyone loves you guys. And it's just fun to be here.
Thanks, Greg. Really appreciate means a lot. That. Yeah. Well, great way to end. We're going to quote you on that for sure. and appreciate it. We know you have a busy schedule here at the FSLA conference in Fort Lauderdale. Great day. Great conversation. Thanks, Greg, so much
thank
for your
you.
Time.
Thanks, appreciate guys. Appreciate it.
And for our listeners back home, you can go to btgvoice.com, listen to this content and so much more. Thanks for listening to another great episode of Bridge the Gap.
Thanks for listening to Bridge the Gap podcast with Josh and Lucas. Connect with the BTG Network team and use your voice to influence the industry by connecting with us at btgvoice.com.